So we come to hear God's word read to us from Isaiah 40 and from Mark chapter 1.
The first reading can be found on page 714 in the Good News Bible. Comfort my people, says our God, comfort them. Encourage the people of Jerusalem. Tell them they have suffered long enough and their sins are now forgiven. I have punished them in full for all their sins. A voice cries out, prepare in the wilderness a road for the Lord. Clear the way in the desert for our God. Fill every valley, level every mountain. The hills will become a plain, and the rough country will be made smooth. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and the whole human race will see it. The Lord himself has promised this. A voice cries out, proclaim a message. What message shall I proclaim, I ask? Proclaim that all human beings are like grass. They last no longer than wild flowers. Grass withers and flowers fade. When the Lord sends the wind blowing over them, people are no more enduring than grass. Yes, grass withers and flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. And the second reading is Mark chapter 1, to be found on page 45 of the Good News Bible. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It began as the prophet Isaiah had written. God said, I will send my messenger ahead of you to clear a way for you. Someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him to travel. So John appeared in the desert, baptizing and preaching. Turn away from your sins and be baptized, he told the people, and God will forgive your sins. Many people from the province of Judea and the city of Jerusalem went out to hear John. They confessed their sins, and he baptized them in the river Jordan. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He announced to the people, the man who will come after me is much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to bend down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Not long afterwards, Jesus came from Nazareth in the province of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my own dear Son. I am pleased with you. At once the Spirit made him go into the desert, where he stayed 40 days being tempted by Satan. Wild animals were there also, but angels came and helped him. After John had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and preached the good news from God. The right time has come, he said, and the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe the good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So let's pray. Let us pray with the psalmist that God will open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous truth out of his word. So help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who is this Jesus whose birth we celebrate at this time of the year? Who is this Jesus by whose birth every other birth is dated? According to Mikhail Gorbachev, the former Soviet premier, Jesus was the first socialist, first to seek a better life for mankind. According to Martin Luther King, the American civil rights leader, Jesus was an extremist for love, truth, and goodness. Whereas dear old Prince Philip once said, he might be described as an underprivileged working class victim of political and religious persecution. The Gospels declare that Jesus is the Son of God. And it's fascinating to see the way in which Mark, the earliest Gospel, begins. This, he says, is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There are many ways in which we can define Jesus. But ultimately, his defining essence is that he is the Son of God. And it's fascinating, too, as we read through Mark's Gospel, to discover that the Son of God is a key term there. And at three key events, Jesus is described as the Son of God. the baptism of Jesus, a voice came from heaven. You are my own dear son. I am pleased with you. At the transfiguration, again a voice is heard coming from heaven. This is my own dear son. Listen to him. And at the cross, after all the ghastly work is done, the Roman officer standing in front of the cross declares, that man was really the Son of God. Much ink has been spilt in defining what this term means. Suffice it to say, it designates a unique relationship of intimacy with God. And we see that not least in the way in which Jesus dared to call God Father. Nobody had ever dared to do that before. But Jesus took a simple family word, a word which Jews right up until this day still use of God, of their heavenly, of their earthly father. He took this word, Abba, and dared to call God Father, dear Father. Jesus was able to do so because he was the Son of God. And because he is the Son of God, he is the one able to save. In the words of the great Good Friday hymn, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And it is precisely because Jesus is able to save that he is good news. Yes, the good news is not just that Jesus is the Son of God, but that Jesus is the Saviour. Now, at his baptism, we see God confirming Jesus' identity. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, declared Mark at the beginning of his gospel. And then, hey presto, he launches into the story of Jesus' baptism. It is as if the story of Jesus being baptized is the key to the good news. I wonder, do you remember the day when you were baptized? I do. It was a cold November Sunday morning in 1957. I was 13 years old, and at that time I was living in Switzerland. And along with 11 others, I was baptized in Salemskapelle in the center of town in Zurich. I shall never forget the occasion for two reasons. First of all, in those days, we had to wear white gowns, and mine wasn't properly weighted, and it floated to the surface as I went into the water. Nor shall I forget the solemnity of the occasion afterwards, when the elders came forward and laid their hands on me and prayed for me. It was quite an experience. For Jesus, too, his baptism was quite an experience. Indeed, it wasn't just an experience. It was a momentous experience. Mark tells us, and I quote, that as soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove. And then came this voice from heaven, you are my own dear Son, the Beloved. I am pleased with you. It is no exaggeration to say that God broke through into Jesus' experience in a very special way. But why did God act in this way? Why was Jesus blessed with a vision and a voice? And why do our baptismal experiences pale into insignificance compared with his baptism? I believe the uniqueness of Jesus' experience lies in the uniqueness of his baptism. Have you ever asked yourself why he was baptized? Because at first sight it doesn't make sense. Because as we heard, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. To all and sundry, John the Baptist said, turn away from your sins and be baptized, and God will forgive your sins. So then why was Jesus baptized? Jesus had no sin of which to repent. Every strand of the New Testament affirms that Jesus lived a perfect life. The writer to the Hebrews, for instance, declares that Jesus was like us in every respect bar one. He was without sin. And Jesus' close friend Peter compared him to a lamb without defect or flaw. So why then was he baptized? There is only one explanation. The baptism of Jesus marked the first step to the cross when he took upon his shoulders the sin of the world. Jesus, in being baptized, was identifying himself with us as we really are. At Christmas time, we celebrate his birth, where he identified with us in our humanity. But in his baptism, he became one with us in our sinfulness. And so he took the first step that would lead him to a cross. The baptism of Jesus set in train events which were to lead to the salvation of the world. And that's the reason for the vision and the voice. Because God, through this extraordinary vision, was confirming that Jesus was on the right track. And if you were Jesus, wouldn't you have wanted confirmation that you were doing the right thing? I mean, yes, he already knew who he was. Already when he was only a 12-year-old boy, he knew that he had a special relationship with God. For to his worried parents who came searching for him in Jerusalem, he said, "Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" He knew himself to be God's man. But how was he to perform this role of being Messiah? What kind of Messiah was he to be? And I can imagine over the years, he wrestled with this question. And as in baptism, he perhaps somewhat hesitantly took this first step that leads to the cross. God declared, "You are my own dear son. I am pleased with you." God confirmed his identity. He confirmed his calling. "You are my own dear son." Yes, at his baptism, God confirmed Jesus' identity. And in baptism, we affirm Jesus' identity. Immediately following the baptism and the subsequent 40 days of temptation, Mark tells us that Jesus began to preach the good news from God. "The right time has come," he said, "and the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe the good news." And the good news that we are called to believe is that God has come to us in the person of his son, Jesus. A little later in Mark's Gospel, we find Jesus asking his disciples the question, "Tell me, who do people say that I am?" They said, "Some say this and some say that, but who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And I believe that Jesus continues to ask us, "Who do you say that I am?" This morning in their baptism, Catherine and John will be affirming that Jesus is the Son of God. And living as we do the other side of the cross and resurrection, they will be affirming that Jesus, the Son of God, loved them and gave himself for them. Yes, in baptism, we affirm our faith in Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, the water was simply a sign of cleansing. But when the Apostle Paul came to reflect upon baptism, he linked this cleansing with the death and resurrection of Jesus. And for him, baptism was the moment when we declare our solidarity with Jesus. Baptism is, if you like, the moment when we act out in a dramatic way that Jesus died for me, that Jesus rose for me. And as John and Catherine go down into the water, they will be affirming that Jesus died for me and was buried. And as they rise up from the water, they will be affirming that he not only died for them, but he rose that they might have life. Baptism is the moment when we affirm the identity of Jesus, when we declare that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is good news, that he is good news even to me. Fourthly, don't worry, there are only 5 points. Baptism confirms our new identity. Through our faith expressed in baptism, we receive a new identity. We become children of God. Listen to Paul writing to some Christians in Galatia. He said, "It is through faith that all of you are God's children in union with Christ Jesus. You were baptized into union with Christ." Baptism confirms our identity as children of God. We may hear no voice, but as we are baptized, God says to us, "You are my dear son, you are my dear daughter, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the truth is that for some Christians, their baptism has been a sheet anchor in moments of doubt. They may not remember the day when they actually became Christians, but they remember the day when they confirm their faith in Jesus. Yes, in those moments when perhaps they're afflicted by doubt and uncertainty, when they've wondered whether they truly are the Lord's, they can look back to the day when they ran their colours up the mast, as it were. And as a result, they're able to say, "I have been baptized. And because I have been baptized, I know that I belong to God, whatever, however I feel." Yes, in this sense, baptism confirms our identity. As we seal our faith in God, God owns us. He says, as it were, "I claim you. I love you. I am proud of you." And lastly, baptism confirms our new calling. For Jesus, his baptism marked a new beginning. It marked the moment when he turned his back upon Nazareth and began those 3 awesome years of ministry. In baptism, Jesus committed himself to a life of service for God. And here is another similarity between the baptism of Jesus and our baptism. Baptism is not just a one-off spiritual experience, unrelated to the rest of life. Rather, in baptism, we commit ourselves to go the way of Jesus. Through this whole dramatic thing involving water, we are saying essentially that we want to die to our old way of living, and we want now to live for Jesus and to live for Jesus alone. You see, there is far more to baptism than simply getting wet all over. It marks a new beginning and not just an end. It's a new beginning of a life lived in service to God. Baptism is not the end of the road. That was so for Jesus. That is also true for John and Catherine. It's for this reason that after they've been baptized, we shall lay hands on them and pray for them. And we will pray that God will fill them afresh with his Spirit so that they may have power to serve. As Christians, we've been saved to serve. The membership role of this church is the ministry role of the church. If you're a child of God, then you're a servant of God. Now, precisely what form this service will take for Catherine and for John, I have no idea. In the first place, Catherine, you will be called to serve God at school. And for you, John, as you start a new job, tomorrow is it, in Denham, that's where God, first of all, wants you to serve him. But I have no doubt that over the years, there'll be many other places in which God would have you serve him too. Well, enough of Catherine and John. Question I have is this. What about you? Where do you stand in relation to this Jesus? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you? If so, baptism is the next step for you. But if not, then let me urge you to discover the difference that Jesus can make. Why don't you join this new Looking for Love course and discover that Jesus really is good news? Let's pray. Let's have a moment's silence as we reflect on what God may be saying to us. O God, our Father, help us not to bury our head in the sand and ignore the most important event in human history. Help us to face up to the coming of Jesus and to the difference that he wants to make to our lives. In his name we pray. Amen.